The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Phantom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really... I wrote in this introduction, like stuff. You know how many times I've said love stuff, and yeah. I wrote like stuff? That is
it's
so
been
weird.
A year.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. I'm really tired today. I'm Jordan Zachrin, the features editor here at Sci-Fi Wire, and I'm joined by my good pal and co-host, Emily Gaudette, who is an editor at Contently. Emily, what's up?
Hey, man.
She was criticizing the way I said that. And when we taped an introduction, that didn't work.
Yeah, just to be transparent, we often do these intros like three times.
Yeah, and I say the same thing every time, but I can't nail it.
Yeah.
So anyways, what's up?
Nothing. I was at a full day like work retreat today.
What does that mean?
It means I was whipping axes at a wall and I'm a little tipsy.
All right. Well, I mean, look at drunk whipping axes.
No. No, I'm not actually drunk.
It's like 100 games, four employees.
Yeah, we went to a Brooklyn bar where basically we were doing the shit that my dad does for fun in the backyard. I sent him a picture and he was like, oh my God.
Why? So what was the purpose of the, team building? Or
team building, yeah.
Do you feel closer with your coworkers?
I do, really? Actually, yeah.
Because we used to do a retreat at Inverse and that was, I mean, some people got very close.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been on like a team building day. It just seems like a thing you would do in the office.
Yeah, it was really fun. So I work for a startup that is in its adolescence. So like there are some reminders of like the party culture that existed once, but now they're a little grown up.
Well, you work for a startup that has money, which is nice.
Yeah. Because they're like rare. 7-8 years into the process.
Right. So at what point are you not a startup?
Like, I don't know.
Facebook is like 10 years old, but that's not a startup. No, it's like 15 years or so.
I feel like we're still a startup because it's weird if someone above 40 is hired. It's like,
okay.
What?
Sure. Yeah. Age discrimination.
Yeah. Age discrimination is what makes you a startup.
Yeah. Just like what makes you a startup is you don't have any like real HR rules. And so you kind of just anything
yeah.
goes.
Yeah. You're making an HR up as you go along.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's not cool. We should write that down.
Yeah. You're violating things without any sort of punishment.
Yeah. Whereas you and I worked for a startup that was truly just like throwing shit at a wall.
Oh, yeah. And like that was like not an HR violation, just throwing people at walls. Like, or literally flinging shit was probably something that happened there.
Probably.
Yeah.
I bet money. Yeah.
I saw our old boss actually, Andrew, at the Christopher Robin movie last night. It was really something.
Perfect.
Yeah. What is the geekiest thing you've done this week?
Oh God.
It's almost the end of the week. So.
Okay. This is like not geeky, but I have to say this because no one will listen to me. I am obsessed with HBO's Succession.
People on Twitter have been talking about that.
Oh my
Media
God.
Twitter, I guess.
I'm like Marvel level obsessed.
Really?
In fact, I have this theory that Succession is like a Loki fanfic.
Okay.
It's so good.
I think you tweeted about that.
I think you would like it, actually.
It's about the media biz, right? It's kind of like a Murdoch-y type thing?
Yeah. It's like aging, you know, media mogul. He's like dying. He's kind of losing his like wits, you know? And his kids from several marriages are just vying for the crown.
Mm.
And one son, like the oldest son that IMHO, should have the power.
You just say, in my opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion. Kendall should have the power. He's just fascinating. He's like incredible.
Is he the main character of the show?
Yeah, he's like the protagonist. They're all really shitty, but he's like the only one who's close to redemptive.
I feel like if this happened in my family, and it's certainly not, there's no power to be fought over, but my youngest brother would just like destroy both of us. Reese would just destroy us.
I've like, never met your brothers, and I know that Reese would
like,
destroy.
He's like, oh, we got Valiant there. He'd be like, yes, I'm competent, and you two are not, so that's that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I would give him the leadership. I'd be like, good things happen to you and not me.
Ah, see, it's not always about luck, though. Like,
no, he's just like, he just emanates, like, things just, not saying he gets lucky, I'm just saying he's like good at things.
Mm.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
He's
anyway.
Also not he's not bothered by things in his head 24/7.
That's such an amazing trait.
I know.
When you meet someone who's just like not bothered, it's so unnerving.
I don't mean to say that Reese doesn't have like a conscience or that he's like a dunce, but he just doesn't have the hangups that I think probably a lot of people do.
Yes, that's how my boyfriend is. He's not dumb. He just like nothing, it all rolls off. It's like, why worry about it? It's
that's crazy. True. Yeah.
So what have you done that's geeky?
Well, two things I would say. I've been playing a lot of Zelda Breath of the Wind on Switch because, you know what I really, I mean, this is obvious, but I don't look at Twitter or anything when I'm playing it because I can't.
Mm.
And so like I'm in this zone and the game is like not, the game is challenging and not that action packed. Like Julia's like, all you do is run around fields and cut grass.
It's like meditative, right?
Yeah, it is. And like when you figure out a challenge, you're really proud of yourself. And I generally don't like games like that, but I always love the Zelda games. There's like no enemies to fight. They just occasionally pop up and just whoop your ass. But I've been playing that game a lot. I go home and do that. And for me, I don't really take a lot of time off to not do work. So it's very strange that I'm like spending hours doing this thing that like ostensibly is not productive. I get nothing out of it, but like chillness.
That's so nice.
It's so weird.
Knowing you, I'm so glad that you're doing that.
I feel great guilt about it. And
so you have swimming and Zelda.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just like I feel bad. I'm like, oh, I didn't work on the book we want to do, or I didn't work on my newsletter. Or
that's work, though.
Yeah, I know. You know, I saw Christopher Robin last night. Actually,
I
like
heard it
I mentioned,
weird.
It's a strange movie.
Yeah,
but at one point they say to I don't know if Christopher Robin says it or Winnie the Pooh says it. I mean, look, it's all blur. But they're like, what do you like to do? When you like for yourself or for fun, or what do you know? They're like, what are you happiest doing? I think is what they said.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, I don't know.
That's such no.
No, no. I mean, like, I'm saying, like, is there an activity? Like, there's times I'm happy.
Does writing count? I feel like.
I don't know, but then I just beat myself up. Like, I love doing things like with Julia. Like, I love, there's like lots of stuff that makes me happy, but I don't know if I have a single activity.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
That I would spend my time doing.
Yeah, Cam and I are doing that experiment of like, what's the activity we can do together?
What have you been doing?
Bouldering, like rock climbing.
Oh, okay. Why bouldering? Just call it rock climbing.
Bouldering is like what like cool people call it.
Yeah, because rock climbers are super cool. I've also been watching, we're doing next month at Sci-Fi, stay tuned Sci-Fi fans, we're doing at Sci-Fi Wire like oral histories of afternoon cartoons that we loved as kids.
Oh, that's gonna kill.
In the 80s and 90s, yeah.
Well done.
So I'm going to do the Disney afternoon ones like DuckTales and Rescue Rangers and all that.
I didn't have Disney Channel because we didn't have money.
No, it wasn't on Disney Channel.
What?
It was on like ABC or like whatever. No, I didn't have money either. We didn't have Disney Channel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew like any Disney TV.
Yeah, I mean, they were just like animated series that were on like a regular TV.
Hmm.
So I'm doing that. So I've been watching like Rescue Rangers and stuff.
Hmm.
And it's kind of dark.
Really?
The shows, I mean, they're not like purposely dark, but like they're just things where like, in the first episode, they find like a pirate ship that's been abandoned, but the rats are still there guarding the treasure. And like,
are they ugly rats?
No, they're pirate rats, and they don't like kill them or anything. But you're like, man, this is dark if you think about it. Like the pirates probably all died of like scurvy, and the rats are still there guarding the treasure and stuff like that.
All I can think about is the rats. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a
pirates.
I mean, they don't make that joke, but yeah. There's actually, no, I think it's called like Piratesy, the title of the episode. And there's an Australian rat actually in it.
Oh my
named
God.
Named Monterey Jack.
Oh my God.
He's got a cheese addiction.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't tell me that.
I mean, look, I figured you would know.
I got to look it up.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Cool.
Anyways, so today we're doing something a little different. We're doing an entire show on something we've touched on a bunch, but have never devoted a full episode to. Fan petitions and protests. They're nothing new. People started like writing dismayed letters to the editor of Batman comics in the 50s and 60s. And like, they like hated the 60s Adam West show. And so like, they've always been protesting and angry, but like, they couldn't really, it was all diffuse. Like they couldn't do it together.
Yeah.
Like as the communal fuming went, like never went past comic book stores. And so, but now the internet has allowed them to come together, better or worse, and make a lot of noise for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode is inspired by the James Gunn situation and the huge petition. And it's amazing. Like, it's over 300,000 people have signed it, and the entire cast of Guardians of the Galaxy have come out. And for the context, and I'm sure everyone who's listening to this, our legion of fans, know the situation with James Gunn, but he was fired because Mike Cernovich, one of the worst people alive, brought up some of the old tasteless jokes he made, like James Gunn made on Twitter many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And so now he was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy, and the internet is in an uproar about it, like really taking action. And so I talked to the guy who started the petition, who's just like this freelance photographer from Scotland.
He's just some guy.
Yeah, he really is. Like, I mean, he's a lovely man.
But I'm sure.
He's not. You wonder, like, was it just good SEO that got it out there? Because, like, big names have signed it. So eventually it got tweeted by big people. But you're like, why did his change.org petition get out there?
Yeah.
And he has no idea. He's like, yeah, I don't know. So anyways, and he didn't even like seem that passionate about it.
Really?
He said he started, he said like, and we'll play a clip from it. He was like, I started because I wanted to see if people agreed with me. I thought it was kind of BS. And then the more and more I thought about it, that's when I got more passionate about it.
How many signatures did it have when you talked to him?
It was over 350K at the time.
Good God.
By the time this airs, I'm sure it might even pass like half a million. I don't know.
Is it appropriate? Like, what is your stance? Can I ask you that?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that he said, like, is that 362,000 right now?
Wow.
He said that, like, they must have done a background check, and I'm sure they had to have, right?
On James Gunn.
Like, I got a background check.
Sure.
For sure.
Really?
Here. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they didn't go through all my tweets, but I'm not quite as important to the company.
Yeah.
And he apologized for not the tweets, but in 2012, he apologized for some, like, kind of nasty Facebook posts. Like,
and then
all
even,
in jest.
Even recently, he was like, you know, I used to think that shocking was the ultimate goal of comedy.
And he was like a Troma Pictures guy, which like the whole point of that is the shock.
Yeah.
And so you've got to think that James Gunn, they knew what they had with James Gunn, right?
I would assume. And also, if you watch any of his movies, you know who he is.
And so, but now we're at this point where them firing him has led to Mike Cernovich and his minions. And I don't want to. Also, I don't want to bash Minions. I love the movie. Love the characters. Love our IP. Mike Cernovich and his troll army are now like trying to out everyone. You know, trying to like find bad tweets about every single person and get them fired.
I think they just got sore that it was so many of their people.
Right.
Conservatives were being taken down that it was like, oh, let's make them. Because like Al Franken was taken down.
Right.
And then nobody on the left got like the Al Franken treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were just hungry for another leftist victim.
And also, like, James Gunn used to dunk on them a lot on Twitter.
Yes, yeah, sure.
So he really provoked them. But I think it's, look, I think, like, it's they're a private company, it's their right, but I think it's kind of silly, and now it's really backfired on them.
Yeah.
Because you kind of set the precedent, right? Like, now, like, no one who ever works for you can have a bad tweet in the past, you know?
Right, that's crazy.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, look, they're an entertainment company. They work with, like, Johnny Depp. You know, like, they've had people who've done way worse, like John Lasseter.
Absolutely.
So I think, like, I don't think they should have fired him. But I can imagine, like, Disney's this family company, and they were probably terrified of the protests they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so fast. It was so damn fast.
It was hella fast. And also, I don't know, I just think it's interesting that, like, so you feel, let me get this straight, that they shouldn't have fired him. But you didn't start a petition. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, like, what is it in the people we're going to interview and talk about that drives them to take the next step? And, like, I'm going to take action because I think that this is unjust.
It's interesting because, I mean, I think when we talk about fandom, it's a lot of, I think there's a lot of reasons people are fans of things. But a lot of times it's a thing you feel like you own or you can control.
Sure.
And the world, especially now, and this is not where a lot of these, not when a lot of these petitions were made, but world especially now is like so insane that like you want to love this thing and have it be yours, and then when it's like goes against that, when all of a sudden it's not your, you know, it doesn't go your way, you like lose control of it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like sullied or something. I don't know.
No, I mean I relate to it to a certain point. There are certain things where I see like news and Variety where it's like, oh, this is being developed. I'm like, oh God, I'm not going to be able to think.
Like an Alf reboot.
Yeah, you were so mad about that.
But, like, I'm not going to, like, burn the studio down.
Yeah. I mean, my stress, like, my pain point is they're putting Cassandra Cain in a movie, like, Batgirl.
Right.
I truly did have, like, a body reaction where I was like, oh, no. Like, I can't be an adult about that. I don't want to see a movie if it's not exactly what I want it to be. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, you didn't start a petition either.
No, and even if I saw the movie and it was horrible, I would never, like, take the next step to make it, like, public and part of my brand that I hate this movie. but at the same time, there are a lot of people that do that, and I do respect what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think it's also, there's like two kinds of protests where we're talking about in a way. Like, there's people who are mad about, we'll talk to someone who wants to release the Snyder Cut, and that's like a pure creative thing, right?
Sure.
Like, they want this guy's vision out there.
Okay.
Because it conforms to what they believe Batman or Superman should look like. Uh-huh. And there's people that are, you know, there's just a story yesterday about how, like, there's still not nearly enough or any change in diversity, like, in movies. So, like, we had Will Yu on our podcast, like, the last episode, and his petition, it's not a petition, but it's a movement. And, like, that is productive because it's got a social justice element to it.
And he's making his own art.
Yeah. Well, that's that too, yeah. And so I think there's, like, two very different things. Like, I think that, you know, pressuring white, you know, rich Hollywood to be more diverse or to have better representation or tell different stories, I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, I don't want to, I mean, look, I'm a straight white guy, so I can't, like, say, use your time better, you know?
Plus, we have evidence that it works.
Right. So,
you know?
So yeah, there's, like, many different kinds of protests, but I'm going to play a clip of this hombre that I spoke to from Scotland. I call him an hombre. I don't know why.
Well, that's what they
the
say
Scottish,
in Scotland.
Yeah, the Scottish hombre, what he said about James Gunn. It's about a minute and a half long. And all right, let's roll the clip, Paul. Paul's the guy who edits the podcast.
Well, the obvious hope is to get him back. But I think realistically, at least, I would like a new statement by Disney that kind of just addresses, because, you know, since it's come out, a lot of trolls and stuff made false reports about, you know, James Gunn doing horrible things, which isn't true. And I think it's kind of just Disney should, at least if they're not going to get him back, at least release a statement, say, you know, they still support him in a way, and they don't, and these reports are false, and give some credit to him. Disney would have done a background check. So, and I think once you hire someone, all the information that you know, if you still decide to hire someone, you have to take responsibility for that with some way. If something comes up afterwards, that's not on you. But I feel like knowing what they knew, once this comes out and, well, people start talking about it again, I feel like Disney had some responsibility to either stick up for him or admit they knew about this beforehand. Because they in the statement they gave, they tried to act like they never knew about it. Which they did, because they do background checks. Very much just throw someone under the bus just in under 12 hours of decision-making just so you don't look bad. But since you've done that, I mean, horrible false reports have come out about James Gunn that aren't true. And by you doing this, not releasing a statement, you allow people to start believing it. And it could really ruin not just a career, but a life if you don't say anything. It's stuff like he was sharing child porn, which wasn't true, and him being a pedophile. I get emails all the time saying I'm supporting a pedophile when there's no allegations about that. It's going to harm anybody that comes to work for Disney. And, you know, they got a deal with Fox coming soon. And it means that and now you've done it once. I'm sure every troll is going to look through every new director or actor's history and try and find something bad about them. And if they don't do anything about that, then they're hypocritical. And they say they have no policy thing, but it's not true because they have people on there who have been accused of much worse, and they haven't fired them.
So, yeah, so he talked about how Disney's absence of a statement is sort of, in a weird way, seemingly like it's condoning all the rumors that then, not even rumors, like spurious bullshit about James Gunn, like being a pedophile and you're trafficking in child porn and stuff, that all that the right wing's kind of like gone crazy with.
Yeah.
And so, like, without saying something, like, he wants a statement. I mean, he said it four times, so you don't need me to tell you, but, like, not just, like, if he doesn't get hired back, which looks unlikely right now, at least, like, say something like, hey, we didn't agree with what he said, but he's not, like, a pedophile.
I feel like it's just part of the larger problem that's happening. There is no space for a gray area anywhere.
Like, and, yeah.
If Disney had come out and said, yes, we do not condone those jokes, first of all, they're not funny.
Yeah, they're bad jokes.
Yeah. Also, just from a personal standpoint, I'm not a fan of James Gunn, like,
right,
outside the Guardians. I've seen his other movies, and I'm like, this is juvenile and not funny. If Disney had come out and said, yeah, we're aware of this, however, his
we just
work
love
on
Slither.
This franchise is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, we made our decision. It's not black and white. Like, art to me has to have a gray area.
Right. And the thing is, and I guess the problem is that we also want people who are abusive and, you know, assault women and whatnot to not be in, you know, to not get that gray area, which is, I mean, 100% should be the case. But then you have to figure out who gets a gray area or what is the gray area.
Right.
You know, like Roseanne didn't get one, but also she has like a long history of being, you know, a bigot. So she's a much more track record. And she said it recently.
And there was a victim in what she said. Yes. She was, you know, it was targeted harassment. Whereas James Gunn is like doing a bit that doesn't go well.
Yeah, I wonder what made him think that was those were funny.
He was probably part of a community. Like that was, it's of the era of like dead baby jokes.
Those were like bad Opie and Anthony jokes.
Yes, totally. Totally.
So, yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. I'm assuming that he won't come back. I mean, but the thing is, like, when they release that movie, and however long, it's going to be hanging over it for so long.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the only question people ask. Remember when Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, that's all people asked?
Oh, yes.
Like, that wasn't an established franchise.
And you could see him all over Ant-Man.
Yeah.
The first one.
So anyway, so we're not going to just talk about James Gunn. We're going to soon talk to a guy who wants to release the Snyder Cut. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, he's calling in a little bit. We also reached out to Twitter. By that, it means we tweeted. We reached out to Twitter. I sent Twitter a letter and asked about people's, like, if they've been part of different protests as fans. And whether it's, like, a big public protest or just something they did themselves. And we got a lot of, like, interesting answers.
Yeah. I can tell you mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so this writer, her name is Laura Bogart. She writes mostly for The Week, but she's written for The Guardian and The Atlantic as well. She reminded me of, so she wrote a couple essays when Game of Thrones, I cannot remember which season it was, but it was a recent one where they had Ramsay Bolton rape Sansa. Mm-hmm. That was not in the books. This was beyond the point where the show had like become its own story. And she wrote, you know, I wrote critical essays and then I just washed my hands of the franchise. Like, I'm not interested in HBO's interpretation. And when she sent me this email, I thought, I remembered that was when most of the women in my life stopped watching Game of Thrones. And second, most big feminist publications, including Jezebel, just stopped. They made a public statement and said, we are no longer reviewing this show. We're basically going to pretend it doesn't exist. I still watch Game of Thrones because I like going to a bar to watch something.
Watch it at a bar?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Game of Thrones and Drag Race are my two. Like,
how did they get permission to do that show, or they don't?
It's just like a sports, you know.
You have to pay. Anyways, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. HBO. I don't know how they get permission. But anyway, most of the women in my life, if not all of them, don't watch Game of Thrones anymore because of this decision. And it's interesting to me that I did not see a lot of petitions because you can't, like, not release an episode that had already been released.
Right, yeah, you can't undo it.
Yeah, the reaction among women and feminists after that episode was just like, this is no longer for us.
Right.
Which, I don't know, I feel like that's a form of protest.
Yeah.
It's a boycott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and those guys, the showrunners got in trouble also with the Confederate stuff. Remember that? Was it earlier this year or last year?
Of course I remember that. Twitter had a field day.
Yeah.
It was like
this alternate history of this. They had an HBO show where they got optioned for an HBO show where they were going to make an alternate history as if the Confederacy had won. And like, we're living in that anyways.
Yeah.
So like, we don't need to see we don't need to see that on screen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, my stance on it was George R. R. Martin actually managed to write a series of novels where his women are very interesting. Mm-hmm. And he wrote sex scenes between different men and women where it was, again, kind of a gray area where it's like, maybe there's not, like, she's consenting, but she's kind of enjoying withholding consent. Like, it's a little like, I don't know. But HBO, those showrunners, they just took it and they were like, it's rape, and just created this toxic scene.
I love the way, I really would love if they went, it's rape.
Yeah, well, for actually, they have turned several like consensual lovely scenes into rape, just black and white, but they've also just played in that gray area. So I don't know. What did you get from Twitter?
Among the things I got was Courtney Enlow, who is a editor here at Sci-Fi Wire for Fangirls. She wrote a letter to TBS. This is much more lighthearted. To TBS, asking them to pick up Mystery Science Theater 3000 after It was canceled by Comedy Central. Hmm. And this was so long ago, 1999. They sent her a letter back, like print letter. And it was in Comic Sans. So good.
What'd they say? No.
They said, we appreciate your suggestion regarding the series Mystery Science Theater 3000. Our mission is to become your first choice for entertainment on television. And they basically said no. all TBS Superstation series have been acquired through 2004. And yeah, so basically there's like no.
So it's basically that tweet you get when you tweet customer service and they're like, we appreciate your service.
Imagine having to send letters back in the day. Ugh.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's all comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, all old comics have the section of editors and readers.
I'm just saying, imagine them having to send letters back to everyone who mailed.
Yeah.
Also, there was people like WWE. The women have never been very good to the women wrestlers. So there's protests over that. And someone really was upset that Face Off, the sci-fi show, was ending. And they sculpted these actually kind of incredible different cosplay masks.
Oh, I saw this.
We'll put them up on the story for the podcast because there's no point in us talking about it.
I love making art as protests. That's amazing.
Didn't work. It ends next week. But, you know, it's the dedication we appreciate here at Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
To be clear, I have nothing to do with the programming decisions. Mm-hmm. Because everyone comments constantly bring back dark matter. And I can't do that. Anyway, so, yeah, we now have our Snyder Cut guy. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. So I found you last night when we were, first of all, I should say your full name, Chris Wong Swenson. You have a YouTube channel. And I found you last night when we were, when I was researching the whole Snyder Cut situation. And you made some pretty informed and impassioned videos about it. And so I'm curious, first of all, why you want to see the Snyder Cut. And then also why you decided to take action.
Well, I first wanted to see a Snyder Cut like everybody else, is that it's probably a completely different film than what we got. And I'm a big fan of Man of Steel, big fan of Batman v Superman. I understand that's not a general appeal to a lot of people, but there's a bunch of us that do like what has done with those movies. Mm-hmm. And coming out of Justice League, which is an enjoyable live action cartoon, I would say, like an animated live action animated version of Justice League, but we know that that's not what Zack Snyder had intended. And so at first we just feel like that's how it is, there's no other cut. But then we start looking into it further, researching into it further, and we've come to realize that there is another version out there that may not be 100% made. It could be 90, could be 80, who knows? But there is a cut out there, which is further confirmed by Jay Oliva, who is the storyboard artist for the film, and he also did storyboard artists for like Thor Ragnarok and other things like that. So that's when I started just, I guess, talking about it more. I mean, it interests me a lot. One, because yes, it's just a movie. Two, I did graduate from art school, and I totally understand how being an artist and not having your art, your approved art go to the screen or go to the picture, how that would affect an artist in that respect. And so I felt Warner Brothers was a little bit disrespectful in that attempt. And I'm sure a lot of people as well. And so it's a movement, yes, but it's a gathering of diverse people. It's not just a bunch of people around a desk or something. I've talked to many people all around the world, and we've kind of formed together, not under anything, not under a membership or something like that, but it's just a group of passionate people who want to see what Zack Snyder has done. We don't know if it's better. That's why we want to find out.
So what is the, you know, I know you, Jay mentioned, he's the storyboard guy. He mentioned, you know, things happening in post-production, and I know they've laid out evidence on different websites. You've spoken about it. What are the key pieces of evidence that make you think that this Snyder Cut either existed at one point or still exists?
Well, it's, you look at the evidence by when it was shown. So there was a screening. They said it was quote unquote unwatchable by Batman on film. Of course, I wasn't there. the fandom weren't there, so we were just guessing at that point. We were just looking at the trailers too. If you look at the trailers, a lot of those scenes are not in the film. The look of the trailers are not what looks like in the film at all. And of course, you know, if you're looking at the CG of Superman's lip, you can tell that was reshot. All his scenes, most of his scenes were reshot. But there's a lot of different aspects, and I go into in depth in a lot of my videos and a lot of other people's videos as well. Not just me. I'm probably like a third rate coming in, but, and there's also the website for Snyder Cut that, Fiona, she's also part of the fandom that has gathered all the material to see a timeline in a way we could just type of guess that this is what was going on. Everything down to the CO3, all the looks, and Larry Fong's comment about what stage Zack Snyder's at during that one picture up in, I think it was in March of 2017. So with those guesses, we can kind of find feel that, yes, there is something else out there, not completely finished, and it's different from what Joss Whedon had come in to fix or reshoot and do all those types of material. Also, we, judging by how Joss Whedon shoots, it's different from how Zack Snyder shoots. And I think being a Snyder fan, you can kind of see that. Mm. And then that's all we're guessing, and we're just investigating. But it hasn't really been confirmed until Jay Oliva publicly came out and said, yes, the Snyder Cut exists. And he's confirmed a lot of other things. Even some of like Fabian Wagner, who was the cinematographer at that time. Ciaran Hinds, who was the actor, the Steppenwolf actor. He said, that's not the movie. Mark McClure, who was you know, Jimmy Olsen from the old Donner days. He also came out and said to the fandom, so to people in the fans and to people who attend those shows to actually can talk to them. I think we also have audio recording of Mark McClure. I don't know if he's going to get in trouble because of NDAs, but I think judging from all of that, there is a whole lot to go into, a whole lot to look into. And we just know first in our hearts that there is another cut out there. We totally understand it's not 100% finished. When we call it release the Snyder Cut, we don't mean release this, you know, it's 100% ready to put on the shelf. We don't think that at all. We know it's probably not finished. It could be the work in progress type version that Jay Oliva suggested about Beauty and the Beast. They released the work in progress one. Of course, Zack Snyder probably will not want to release a version that he's not happy with. So, but as far as knowing's existence, that we pretty much feel like it really does exist.
Will, if he doesn't want to release it, let's say he's like, nah, I wasn't happy with it. Like, him acknowledging that it exists, will that be enough? Or do you need to see it?
Zack Snyder?
Yeah, mm-hmm. If he's like, it exists, but I don't like it, so I don't want anyone to see it. Will that be enough? Or you, like, you really just want to see what it is at this point?
Well, if he comes out and says, it exists, I'm not happy with it, I mean, I think we can stop. But from everything that we've seen and he's hinting about, and, you know, Fiona has been talking to him, it does exist, but he's trying to find out how to release it. Hmm. So it's up to Warner Brothers to do that. I think the decision is out of his hands.
Why do you hypothesize that Warner Brothers would release a worse version of their movie?
Well, worse is a subjective term.
Okay.
I understand that a lot of people may not like something that they don't like and things like that. I totally get that. It's an alternative cut. But this is my guess at how, if they wanted to, because there is a crowd out there who wants to actually watch it. Mm. And what would be the best way to not sort of invest too much into it? Is to actually release it on their streaming service.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I don't think
that's
I was
added content. Yeah.
I don't think I was being clear.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's say Snyder's version exists. I'm totally, mm-hmm. by the way, behind the idea that it exists. Why would Warner Brothers mm-hmm. look at his version and say, no, we're gonna release this other version? That's what I mean. The theatrical version, why did they go with that?
The theatrical version would believe because they wanted to go, they look at Disney, they look at Marvel and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a company, yeah, you look at your competitor and you want to try to mimic that.
Mm.
What Snyder was doing was trying to make a self-contained Nolan-type universe.
Okay.
That's what started it, Man of Steel, because Christopher Nolan was a producer at that time.
Sure.
But then, as you know, the years go by, you know, I believe Warner Brothers was looking at Marvel like how to make their dark universe. They want that cinematic universe. They want that gold mine.
I see.
And in this case, instead of just saying, Zach, hey, let's not even start Justice League with you. Let's get Joss, and we'll just make from scratch, you know, and see how that goes. But they pretty much wasted years of Zach's life, you know, and, you know, his daughter died. Yeah, I believe you know that.
Yeah.
And wasted his life to make another, to really just trash his version or change it up to something that's not really his anymore, but kept his name on. And, you know, we can go all day about the DGA rules and stuff like that. That's why sure. His name is on as a director for that. But, you know, I think Warner Brothers knows that they, what happened, but in a way they're sending that message by changing the entire production company.
Mm-hmm.
So Geoff Johns is gone. You know, all these people are gone. John Berg has moved on. They put DC Films back in Warner Brothers' lot, and Walter Hamada came in. So I believe they know that. They, in their way, they know that they've made a mistake with Justice League.
So here's listening to you talk about like them wasting Zack's time and then not letting him finish to what he started. Would you say it's just as much? And this is just what I'm getting out of it. I could be entirely wrong. It's just as much a movement on behalf of Zack Snyder as it is for this movie itself. It's justice for Zack.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we understand what he's gone through. In fact, we love the story that he was trying to tell with Man of Steel. It's an immigrant story. I think a lot of us are actually more diverse than just the general audience. Like there's people from all over the country, in different countries, who love this story that he's told because they can feel, they can sympathize with that immigrant story. And that's why it's not, you know, your Donner American hero type story. But, and we are Snyder fans as well. Maybe not all of us are, but a lot of us are Snyder fans as well. And then we really sympathize with his loss, his daughter. We also, you know, we were able to, get $1,500 donated to the American Suicide Prevention Foundation.
That's good.
From this movement. And I think we even, Shiraz Ferrucci from Comic Book Debate, the Ferrucci brothers, we were able to fund, Harlem Kids to go to watch Black Panther. So, I think I just wanted to, I just wanted to add that in because a lot of people think the Snyder Cut movement is no more than trolls or things. And not saying that there aren't. I'm sure there's a lot of bad eggs and everywhere, including Star Wars fans right now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
But, yeah. But, there's always good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I'm trying to get at is that, yes, we're doing this for, we started off with just the movie. But I think we've come further than that to ensuring that creatives get integrity, you know, the integrity of the creative director. And that even goes towards Rian Johnson or any other director who wants to make the movie they want to make. And, you know, of course, this is Hollywood and there's going to be corporate driven type things. But I don't think it should be to the extent of what they did with Justice League.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned...
director.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Rian Johnson because, you know, people... I think some people in the... and only I'm on the outside of it, the Snyder Cut thing, but really care about this gritty depiction of these characters. And in the... so they want their characters the way they want them. And in the same way, people who are really mad about The Last Jedi wanted Luke Skywalker and other characters the way they wanted them. So there's like different reasons why you might be part of this movement. I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, interesting about Last Jedi, I actually don't like The Last Jedi, but I respect him for the decisions that he made, and I respect that he stood by those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
As an artist. As an artist, as a creative, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I have to like the story they said,
sure.
But
sure.
I respect that. If it is true that Kathleen Kennedy had said, no, Ryan, you're going to be able to make the movie you want to make, and we'll respect you. This is what we approved on. This is what we signed off on. That's the movie we're gonna release. Just like how I think Matt Reeves right now wants to make his Batman movie, and the first time he walked away was possibly because they wanted him to make a different movie than what he wanted to make.
Hmm.
So they brought him back in and says, you know what, Matt Reeves, do the movie you want to make. So I think I respect director-driven films.
I know that this would have to just be conjecture, but what would you personally hope to see in a Snyder cut? Like, what do you think was missing from the theatrical cut of the film?
Well, there's also the artistic part. I mean, the music, I don't really care for Danny Elfman in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was brought in really late in the game, and I think he only had storyboards to make music out of, so he didn't really have time to do that. I enjoy it has to feel complete to what Man of Steel and Batman v Superman had started, in that feeling of the Hans Zimmer score, which was missing, when Superman came out. And I think from what we've learned, and I have no basis or evidence to back this up other than what's in the trailers, what Jay Olivas has been telling us, that it would had a deeper story to it. It wasn't as lighthearted as what we've seen in Justice League. Like, Cyborg was supposed to have been a more important role, the heart of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they took out his mother. They took out different plot points that had a lot of depth to it. It just didn't feel complete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think if you're a fan of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, you'll feel that this doesn't feel like a Zack Snyder film.
Mm.
And I think that's what we're trying to see what it is. But, and for the people who don't care for it, I would think they would be at least curious to see what this other version looks like.
Sure.
It plays out.
Look, if they put it on Blu-ray, I will definitely buy it and watch it.
Me too.
Out of pure curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, I'm definitely a DC person more than I am Marvel. So whatever I saw when I saw Justice League in the theater was definitely like devastating. I was like, oh my God, the whole franchise has stalled. Yeah. It just seemed like especially a big bummer because to me, Wonder Woman was so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I still have high hopes for Aquaman. I don't know.
It looks fun.
Yeah,
that's all I care about. Well,
I think Aquaman might be good. I mean, they said James Wan has said he was given full creative decisions on that. So,
at the very least, it looks insane. Like it looks cool.
Crazy. Yeah. And honestly, the Aquaman story, when you watch Young Justice, like it's basically just Game of Thrones underwater. It's really good.
Well,
right.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us. That was really interesting to hear your perspective.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you for inviting me to the show, guys.
Of course.
Absolutely. All right. So, I mean, I think, what did you think?
What did I think? I think we spend a lot of time, we meaning people like us, like leftists, I guess, or whatever, progressives, making fun of like Snyder Cut people.
Yeah.
But you know what? He was pretty, logical.
I like that it's about the artist, you know? And I think like that speaks to me more. Like, we want to see what this guy had dreamt up and had been working on.
Yeah, he definitely did not have that whiny, like, this is what Batman is.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He just, it sounds like he really respects Zack Snyder. Which
yeah.
It's like, cool.
I think that makes me more, like, in tune with it. Like, because the people, he mentioned Star Wars, he alludes to it, and we've spoken about this. Like, the people who hate The Last Jedi, they're not like, they don't hate that like someone spoiled another artist's legacy or story.
It's the Cernovich thing. Yeah. It's like, you don't really care about those jokes.
Right, yeah. Like, they just don't like the way Luke is, or they don't like they don't like Luke's story, and they don't like the fact that there's, like, you know, people of color in lead, or women in lead roles.
Oh, totally.
Like, their anger of it is their ownership over the movie, not someone else's ownership.
Yes.
You know, they're mad. They're not mad that a director lost the movie.
Uh-huh.
They're mad that, like, their Star Wars got taken.
Because if it was, like, ooh, experimentation within the genre, people would have reacted the same way to Rogue One. It would have been like, whoa, this is not the Star Wars I know.
Right.
But because there were, you know, some white characters, it was, like, fine.
Yeah, exactly. And they also weren't, like, killing off their favorite childhood characters.
True, true.
Although, I guess, like, Luke's coming back for...
Oh, my God. What is with that?
I mean, look, he's... The funny thing is, if they make
him...
Is
he a Force ghost?
Well, everyone's saying that, but... The way Lucas edited the other movies, like, they have the young version of the Jedis as Force ghosts. Like, they have what's it called, Hayden Christensen as Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, are they going to just, like, use young Luke's, like, young Mark Hamill footage?
Well, they're going to use pre-taped Carrie Fisher footage.
Yeah, but, I mean, like...
this could be really weird.
This is going to be trippy.
Yeah.
And we're not going to know anything about it until we actually go see the movie.
When's it out?
I think next week or something. I think yesterday was the first day of shooting. So 2019, I guess.
Wow.
Late 2019.
That's crazy.
Anyway, so I want to talk about a few more petitions.
Because
we wrote them on our list. And we
did.
Hit them. And it is like we said, there's a balance of wanting the creative to have control and also wanting the creative to go your way, and then also, like, social justice.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of those three things. Like, you have on there, like, supernatural fandom, like, saving characters. No, I wrote that.
And you did, yeah. But I'm definitely like, boy, supernatural is a fandom unto itself.
They were, like, sending feathers to the
there's
creators.
Been, like, 25 seasons of this show.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, not bizarre, but, like, it's this little show that could.
Yeah, if there are supernatural fans listening, they're going to think this is hilarious, but my understanding is that it's a show about two brothers who... are in a sexual relationship, and
are you reading fanfic?
They're, like, fighting demons. Is that, and they're also God? The two brothers.
I would watch that show, but I don't know what it's about.
I just know it's, like, it has changed a ton since the first season.
Well, people hate that they kill certain people, and they, like, set feathers and, like, angrily, you know.
I think if you're writing supernatural, you're aware. Who's right. watching it?
Yeah,
and they're a little more, like, plugged into their fandom.
I've always trusted creative, like, the people running the thing, and maybe I'll just come from the side of, like, empathizing with people who are, like,
you're a modernist, you're not a postmodernist.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I appreciate, like, this is a story they want to tell, and I'm either on board for the ride or not. But at the same time, there is the sense that, like, there's, you know. It's not just like killing a character like they killed off a white guy. If you keep killing off, let's say, gay characters, that's
okay,
a problem.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're talking
yeah,
about
yeah.
the 100, always they had the whole, like, bury your gaze movement about
bury
that.
Bury your gaze trope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's clear. That's more of a pattern. It's like throughout the history of television, people have wanted to experiment with writing gay romance, and then they don't have, probably because the writers themselves are not queer, it's like they don't have what examples of what happens beyond the first time they hook up. So it's like, well, what do we do with this gay character? I guess we just have to kill them. Like,
right.
No one seems to know how to write a compelling, happy ending for a gay pairing.
And I think also they use them as, like, sacrifices because they're not as important. They're, like, window dressing their tokens in a way.
Oh, yeah. And we've always framed queer people as, like, beautiful but tragic figures, so they
right.
can't be fulfilled. It's like they have to, you know, I bring up Loki all the time, but, like, Loki's gender fluid in the comics, and, like, that's his role. He just, terrible things happen to him, and that's mm-hmm. what happens. We don't know how to frame a Loki the way we would a Thor, where
sure.
Thor, like, gets what he wants.
And also, like, they are not essential to the plot. They're always
oh, for sure.
extra.
They're
and
never
so
the protagonist.
You're never
yeah.
gonna you're not gonna kill the protagonist, and so you gotta kill the side characters.
So the lever gets fridged.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a big thing. And I think the 100 people recognized that and apologized.
They did. They apologized. The 100 is so interesting to me because obviously I'm all for queer characters, but when Lexa met what's her face? When the two women met and they, like, began a relationship, to me, someone who's into genre fiction, that character is like meant to be with a guy, a specific guy in the show. Like you meet them in the first season, you're like, oh, they're OTP. They're the one true pairing.
Oh, they're OTP.
Yeah. No, you know the feeling. You're like, oh, okay, they're ready, but they have to explore other options first. Right. So like, I get that. Obviously, I get the rage about killing off yet another lesbian, like romantic lead. But that character was gonna end up with the cute guy,
right?
You know, that's just how they set up the show. But you know, the problem is there. It's like that's what they did. The writers, I assume, set it up like, okay, she's gonna end up with this cute, like, angry man. What can we have her do in the meantime?
Well, it's like if they want to have her end up with a guy, why don't they just make two other queer characters?
You know,
they don't have to
totally
make it that one of them is sacrificed for someone else's character development.
I will say they did do a rare thing where they just accepted that character, the woman who lived, is bisexual. It's just like not, no one has to contend with the idea that she's bisexual.
Right, and it wasn't like a thing where they were like, oh, she was confused or she's experimenting.
Exactly.
You know?
She just loved her, Lexa, I believe, and then just kept, you know, doing the show.
Right, sure. And I mean, like, you look at, like, Sense8, that people love that because it was very much about gender.
Yeah, talk about
fluidity.
A thing that worked.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a confusing show, I think, but people loved it so much they ended up bringing back for a finale.
Well, yeah, it was, like, queer representation, but more importantly, it was polyamory.
Right.
So it was, like, you know, you can have more than one sexual partner and it doesn't have to, like, monogamy is not the end all, is the understanding in Sense8. Netflix listened.
And I mean, I think the fact that the creators with Wachowskis also added to it. You know, like they were not just these dudes that were writing the show. I mean, these are people who lived this experience as trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people were not only backing the show itself, they were backing the creators.
Yeah. I mean, maybe people who, I'm totally guessing, but maybe creators who are of a minority of some sort are like a little more aware of their viewership.
Sure.
It's like, not what do I owe them, but what's going to make a better viewing experience?
Right. Well, what do they want to see? How can I speak to them that other people don't?
Yeah. It's like, what would I have wanted when I was 14?
Sure. And then there's stuff like, speaking of creators, like Ender's Game. Remember that like a bunch of years ago?
Oh my God. Yeah. And, well, first of all, the movie was bad.
Right. Sure.
But before we knew that, yeah, there was that big movement like, should we even deal with this guy's stuff?
And it's crazy because people love the book. And the author is Orson Scott Card, who is a homophobe. And like
I always mix him up with a Cthulhu creator, who is also a terrible person.
Oh, yeah, he was a terrible person, yeah. like, people still love him for some reason, but he's like Guillermo del Toro's idol, but he's a terrible person.
I know. I love some of his stuff, too.
Yeah, so...
But he's an anti-Semite.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like all famous people in the past were anti-Semites. Like, Roald Dahl. Like, I was talking with... Yeah.
No.
Who was I talking with? I was talking to someone upstairs. Cher, editor of Fangirls, telling her.
No.
She was so surprised. And, like, he had quotes saying, I am an anti-Semite.
Oh.
I don't like him.
Are you kidding me?
He said Hitler had his problems, but yeah, he didn't pick on them for no reason.
Oh,
the BFG and Matilda guy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. All people were anti-Semitic.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So anyways, Orson Scott Card is a terrible homophobe.
But that sort of happens a lot, right? It's like,
people hate Jews.
That's an...
yeah.
Right, Jordan?
Historically, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm saying where people are like, we don't want this creator's work because he's a bad person.
Right, and I guess he was a producer on Ender's Game also, the movie.
Mm.
And the funny thing is people love the book. And
they
so they were like excited about a movie and they're like, oh, he's involved in it.
Right.
And I guess that's the old separate the art from the artist thing.
Yeah.
But then, like, would they have seen the movie if he wasn't part of it, even though this material came from him?
I don't know. I guess they read the book.
Yeah. So, anyways, the movie didn't do well because it stunk, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing.
When we did talk about fan protests and movements, when you brought it up, I thought of this comic that I read when I was a kid, Batman, A Death in the Family.
Mm.
It was... I've since, as an adult, I've interviewed DC creatives about this, and they've, like, confirmed that that's what happened. They got the sense from letters to the editor that everyone hated Jason Todd, the Robin character, just the guy who was playing Robin. He's, like, an orphan. They always are.
He's a creep. Batman's a creep.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love the Bat family. It's my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, people all did hate Jason Todd.
Yeah, they did. And basically... they did the who's the guy? Oh, Jesus and Barabbas, mm-hmm. where DC was like, okay, we'll kill Jason Todd, but do you want it? You have to swing the axe.
Right.
And they took a vote.
This is in the 90s, right?
Yeah. And yeah. readers, like, by a landslide, were like, kill Jason Todd.
And they, like, even, like, the Zariel guy who, like, was a monster, they're like, no, keep him.
Yeah, exactly. And what they have happen is that the Joker beats him into submission with a crowbar. So he's, damn. Like, bloodied, and it's, like, a two-page spread. And I'm a child reading this, like, wow.
Wow, murder.
Yeah, and then, so he's just, like, dying, and he finally finds his birth mother, and the birth mother watches him die, and then they're tied up, and obviously the Joker, as is his wont, is like, Batman, you can save them, you know, I planted a bomb, and like Batman runs through this town in the Middle East and he's gonna save them, and he doesn't, and the bomb goes off, and he has Jason Todd like limp in his arms, all like tattered and shit, and like that I believe was the first time where the fandom just killed a character because they were like, he's so annoying.
I love that they didn't just kill him softly. They like had him beaten, then blown up.
I don't know if the fans like chose the terms of his death.
For blood. They voted like, let's kill him and let's make him suffer.
But yes, I do remember that was part of my Batman collection that I inherited from my dad, and I had no context for, so I was like, oh my god.
Like, I was a DC person, more of a Marvel person, because they had a lot of bloody murder. Like, I like Spider-Man because he was really funny.
Yeah, that's me, no, it was just kid. Like, I like the Joker just wailing on someone with a crowbar. Yeah. Ooh, that was a weird. I should have looked up who the artist is on that, but Joker in that is just like a really thin skeletal guy. It's like not, it's less cartoony.
Mm.
It's as if like a heroin addict just painted his face. Like that's what Joker looked like back then.
Yeah, it's, the thing about Jason Todd is actually ties back to the Snyder Cut because that's part of what they believe was going to be in the Snyder Cut.
Really?
Well, I was reading actually on Batman asked. News. So what happened was they had a, I guess maybe it was in a trailer or something. There was a flash where it was like a Robin suit. Like with stuff written on it.
Oh, that's right. Oh no, it was the Joker had spray painted on it. You could have stopped this.
But it wasn't. I think that's the way I think. What you call it, Jason? Like Jason Todd dies. The Joker kills him, and he could have stopped it.
Yeah, he does.
But it was just supposed to be Dick Grayson. They're like, everyone hated Jason Todd so much that like no, we're gonna keep it Dick Grayson, even though that's not his story in the comic books.
Well, depending on the Robin that they chose, most of the Robins have a celebrated like hero form that they choose later,
right.
Like Red
Nightwing,
Hood
yeah.
is the fucked up one, and then Nightwing is obviously the fan favorite. Yeah, there's one part of the Snyder Cut movement that I respect. I do respect them as people, but like that I can get behind, which is like I want to see the Bat Family.
Okay.
You know, let's get it going.
Well, I mean, at this point, they're making a movie with some of them.
I know, but I'm
and,
so nervous.
You know, Matt Reeves is making a Batman movie at some point, and Todd Phillips is making a Joker movie origin story.
I know.
Like, who is it? It was like,
is that the one with the like famous actors?
Joaquin
like,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
What you call it? Who just signed on to it? Oh, Mark Maron and Robert De Niro. A Todd Phillips movie about the Joker. That's going to be insane. The guy who did Old School is making a movie about the Joker with those three.
Come on, that's like so... It's almost fitting. It's so weird that it comes back around. And it makes
I'm excited.
Sense.
I want to see it. It's either going to be the best thing or the worst thing.
Yeah. I've never really given too much of a shit about the Joker. I just have to say, okay, so like Cassandra Cain is my Batgirl, mm-hmm. and she is illiterate because she was trained from infancy as like a killing machine.
Sure.
So
yeah, like me.
And Batman does like neurological studies on her, which is fucked up, but he does. And he's like, oh, the language center of your brain is now cued to like physical fighting. Like that's why you're so good at it. And she never learns to read. Anyway, she breaks the Joker out of Arkham at some point, and she's like, in order to prove myself as like an emissary of the Batman, I have to kill Joker. So she fights him, and she can't win because the Joker is so chaotic evil that his language, his physical language, makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was like the most lyrical and like beautiful interpretation of Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
Where Batman has to come in, put him back in Arkham, and he explains to her, like, he will never make sense to you. I know how you fight. You try and anticipate the villain's move, and it's always going to work for you. But like this being, this creature, you can't figure him out. You'll lose your mind trying to figure it out.
Which is funny because the Joker like seems like he has a logic to himself.
Yeah, and that's why I don't want an origin story. Most people don't.
I don't want to know. Like in, I mean, look, Dark Knight is. I mean, everyone loves it for a good reason, but like he gives like three or four different origin stories.
And that's the fun of it. Yeah. Oh my God. That was ripped right out of Michael Haneke's Funny Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the bad guy's like, it doesn't matter why I suck. You know, like that's evil to me. It's beautiful.
I don't want to know his origin.
Nobody does.
Right.
That's the point.
Like, I hope that they'll do like three different, how about this?
Maybe it's like Clue.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro. And Marc Maron playing the Joker different parts of his life, you get three different origin stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the point of
They'd have to do it like the release of Clue, the movie, where everyone sees a different version.
Or like, what was it, the movie where Heath Ledger actually died in the middle of it? The Imaginarium?
Oh my God, that was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do it like that.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Yeah. Why is that in my brain?
So maybe they'll do it like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Bob Dylan biopic.
I'm down. I'm not going to... That's the thing about any superhero movie. There's no universe where I don't see it.
Right. Like, that's the thing. Even to bring it back to James Gunn, I was like, so are you going to protest, like not see the movie? He's like, no, I will.
Ooh, that's the big question.
He's like, I'm going to see it. It just won't feel the same. I guess that's what Disney's counting on.
God, that's like your spouse dying and you're like, well, I'm going to remarry. Not the same.
Definitely the same thing. We're all married to James Gunn.
Legally.
Yeah. So I guess that'll probably do it for us for this week on the Phantom Files.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
You know what I want to just say? If this is coming out next week, everyone should go see The Meg.
Did you see it?
Yes.
God damn it.
It's so good.
I was going to see it with a friend of mine who's into vulture culture.
Into, like...
And we couldn't make it together.
Vulture culture?
Yeah, like she's a taxidermist.
Oh, okay. I just, like, didn't know what you were referring to.
Oh, yeah.
Vulture culture.
No, I said vulture culture, hoping you would ask, what is that?
Yeah. I mean, like, the thing for me is when I hear vulture, I think of the website.
Oh, no.
Or, like, she scalps things.
Neither. No, but she's, like, the only person I know who's more into creatures than I am.
So that's why you're going to see it with her?
Yeah.
You can see it alone. It'd be fine.
I probably will.
I would say do it at a movie pass, but that's dying.
Oh, my God, RIP.
Yeah. I have a day off tomorrow, and I want to go see Mission Impossible, but I don't think even the second week it's going to be on there.
Have you not seen it yet?
No.
Oh, it's fun.
I was away when it came out. Mm. I was away at the screening. I was away during the screening. And then I haven't gotten to see it because I'm cheap.
Cool.
Because I want to see it on a movie pass. I want to get my money's worth.
No, I know. I'm so mad because now when I see trailers, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to movie pass that.
Right.
Like, it's like watching it on an airplane.
And people, speaking of fan protests, let me tell you, people are pissed about movie pass.
Understandably.
Yeah. And you know what I think? I think the survey was like, they said people go to like one or two movies a month. I think that's what movie pass was relying on.
Mm.
The idea is like, all right, we'll make our money back because people aren't going to
go. No, ma'am.
But if someone's like, hey, unlimited movies, then yeah, you're going to go a lot more.
I see like at minimum 5 movies a month.
Yeah, but like...
And that's because I'm not pressed anymore, so I don't get into screenings.
But, you know, if you weren't paying for it, if you were paying for it, you'd go to less.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it now.
Yeah.
Now that it's full price, no.
Right, so I think they must have been like, oh, look at the numbers. Like, we're going to be fine. It's like insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they basically... You subsidize it by not using it.
I hope that that MoviePass is the Napster and that things move in the right direction because it existed and failed.
Well, AMC has that $20 a month program. You can get like 3 movies a week or something.
Oh, yeah, you're into that.
I haven't done it, but the thing is, I would go to do that if they had more like indie movies, you know?
Oh, I know.
Like I saw 8th Grade actually with MoviePass last weekend.
Yeah.
And they don't have it at AMC. Right now,
there's a Nighthawk opening next to my house, basically,
My
living room, and they were gonna take MoviePass, and I'm so angry.
I mean, they may still
didn't get to use it. I don't know.
So it's if they had more independent theaters, I would sign up for the AMC thing.
Yeah.
Or they showed more independent movies.
Yeah. Well,
what can you do? We all get screwed.
If you're an AMC employee and you're listening to this. Please get us memberships.
You know, it's funny. I have the AMC Stub card, like the one I think you pay a short, small fee to get for the year.
Uh-huh.
And you get all these discounts on like popcorn and soda and snacks. But I go and I'm like, we got firstly, we got in for free with MoviePass. So I'm like, I can go crazy on snacks because I got a huge discount also with the Stubbs mm-hmm. card. But then you buy a huge popcorn and like soda and they're like, oh, you got $4 off and it's still like 15.
Oh my God, I know. I sound like my father when I'm like, oh, they're going to charge you like $40
I think if there's one lesson from this show, this episode today, is that the man is going to screw you.
Yeah,
somehow or another. No matter how hard you fight, no matter how many videos or podcasts you make, you will be crushed. And with that, we'll see you next week on the Files. Emily, how can people get in touch with you on the internet?
Oh, I'm Emily G. Monster on Twitter.
And I'm Jordan Zachrin on Twitter. We are Phantom Files Sci-Fi on Twitter. We've been using the Twitter a little more for the Phantom Files.
You have.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Oh, I haven't given you the login.
Okay, listeners, Jordan said he was going to give me the keys and then he never did.
I just forgot. It wasn't anything personal.
If you're on Twitter, tweet us how the man's getting you down.
Yeah. This is a revolution. This show is the centerpiece of the revolution.
Hashtag
secretly,
resistance.
Yeah. This is secretly the resistance podcast. And people who are in the know the stuff we've said. What if, you know, the violence we're inciting with our secret code.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, till next week, please like and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Like, it's so easy to do. And leave a nice review.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you listen this long to us talking about Jason Todd getting beaten to death.
Mm-hmm.
A, sorry. Like, sorry your life has reached that point.
Yeah.
And B, you just got to press the 5 stars.
Yeah. You're probably sitting on the subway right now. You're on your way to work and you're like, oh, I'm a little late. Should I text my boss? No, don't text your boss. Go on iTunes and give us a good review.
Yeah, because your boss doesn't care.
No.
Like,
your boss is late also.
And the thing is, like, and yeah, because the subways suck
in
New
true.
York. And like, I'm sure there's traffic elsewhere in LA or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure like no one in the middle of the country listens to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know actually anyone who listens to the podcast.
Why would you? You have shit to do.
Yeah. But if you're listening, like, and also tweet us that you gave us 5 stars and I will send you $1 in the mail.
I'll send you a selfie.
Wow. In the mail.
In the mail.
We're going to polarize selfies and $1. I will literally send you $1. I think that's like illegal. I don't think Apple will be happy with that.
Oh.
But no, we'll figure out a way to make it okay.
Okay.
Like, send me I'll pay you for the photo. The photo rights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll send you like one of those coupons they give out at Halloween at Wendy's where it's like a free Frosty.
Ooh, yeah. We got to go rob a Wendy's now. But please, 5 stars, a photo, and you'll get $1 and a selfie on Polaroid. Like, we will do that. I have no problem with
that. Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah.
Like, we need those stars.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So remember, Phantom Files Sci-Fi. And I'm going to tweet out this episode to make sure our 220 followers see it. It's like all our friends. Oh God, 5 stars, please. That's all I ask. All right.
Good night, everybody.